The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We welcome you back to our studios here, and it is Get Up coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, as always, on a very busy Monday. The preseason is over. Greeny Graziano and the whole cast is ready to break it down. Let's do it. Hour number two begins. Time to get up with Big Bill and big decisions. The auditions are over. Who got the starring role in New England? The coach just met with the media. I'll tell you exactly what he said. Then, is it possible they will have co-stars in San Francisco? Would they really risk a Super Bowl on this experiment? We'll break it down. And can this championship contender get off the mat after a season-ending injury to one of their most important players? All that and more as we get up with you, starting hour number two right now. Dan Orlovsky, the quarterback battle in New England. Cam Newton, Mac Jones. Once again, it's Cam getting the start and a little up and down, if you will, early from Cam. What did you see?
Yeah, good shoulder movement to widen that flat defender and then a strike driven to Jacoby Myers for completion. Greeny, this throw down the middle of the field is fantastic by Cam. He sees two split safeties. It's a ball driven against a cover two carry linebacker. This is a good play by Blake Martinez. This is a very good throw by Cam. He's giving his guy a chance to go make the play. It's just a better interception by Martinez.
And then Mac Jones would come on. Finished up the first half, he was okay there. Then the second half, he got red hot. Dan.
Yeah, they come out aggressive with play action pass. I love the protection. This is a comfort zone for him. And then he's going to drive that strike. The red zone touchdown is just fantastic. Happened so quick. Ball comes out. We're going to break this down a little bit. Just all the little detail and intricacy attached to it. I love this throw down the seams. That is a perfect ball placement, perfect timing. And then he's going to get man coverage. Watch him work a muddy pocket. Climb, muddy pocket. Take a little tempo off the ball. Back shoulder right there to the tight end, Asiasi. This is what it looks like to throw guys open in the NFL.
And then Cam is looking for a high five. He's looking for a little love. He follows him all the way down the sideline to get it. And so in the end, it is Mac Jones. Let me give you the numbers on him. 10 of 14, 156 yards and one touchdown. Now, Bill Belichick met with the media in just the last half hour or so. And as we are turning around the sound bites, I can tell you right now, in typical Bill fashion, he said nothing. The most noteworthy quote seems to be, we're just going to do what's best for our football team. So that's very typical of Belichick. Graziano, what can you tell us about this decision now 2 weeks away?
Well, we know that Bill Belichick walks the walk. If he thinks Mac Jones gives him the best chance to win week one, then that's who will play week one. And he's got to figure that out. My understanding is Mac Jones has made the decision very difficult. Cam Newton has had a good camp. Everybody there likes him a lot, but he hasn't done anything to widen the gap between him and the rookie. And in fact, the rookie has narrowed it. So we have a situation now where they have two options that they like a lot, and they have to figure out which one it's going to be. But nothing that Mac Jones has done this preseason in this training camp would be a reason to sit him on the bench.
All right, so Dominic Foxworth, I'll ask you. If it is just what's best for the football team, who gives them the best chance to win, what's the answer?
Yeah, I think it's Mac Jones, because I think he gives them the best chance to win going forward. I think that there's not much of a difference week one who gives them the best chance to win. If anything, maybe that's the argument for Cam. He's a veteran, so maybe he gives them a little bit better chance week one. But late in the season, into next year, going forward, Mac Jones gives them the best chance to win. And I know you said that Bill didn't say much by saying that we're going to go with what gives us the best chance to win. But we talked about a team earlier that clearly their coaches and GMs are not going to say that we're going to go with what gives us the best chance to win, because they've decided to start Andy Dalton. Sorry to go off topic. My bad.
No. I get what you're saying. The Bears basically started training camp by saying Andy Dalton's going to be our quarterback, and nothing they've seen has changed that. In New England, Bill Belichick said after the draft, Cam is our starter until he isn't anymore. And now he's not saying Cam is our starter anymore, for whatever that's worth. But, Jeff Saturday, you're going to go next level on me here, aren't you? You're watching Mac Jones in this preseason, and you're getting very excited with what you see.
Yeah, buckle up. Everybody buckle up. And listen, I'm not a fan, so don't get me wrong. I wish you could see my belt down here because I'd show you buckling. Everybody in the AFC better get on, be put on alert here. Listen, Mac Jones, what he's done in the preseason should excite everybody because he elevates everyone else around him. This is a good offensive line. Josh McDaniels does a nice job calling plays. They have a great run attack. They got good backs. They got good tight ends. They have everything in parts and in pieces to put together. They're a defensive-minded football team. What does that say? That's how they won all those games the last 20 years. Yeah. Listen, I understand how good Tom Brady is. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm saying the blueprint of how this team was built, and I watched it, y'all. I fought it every bit of the way. But this is the way that team is built, and it should be scary for everybody in the AFC and the NFC of what this team could potentially do over the next few years.
Yeah, so Orlovsky, let's just get into it for a second here, because leading up to the draft, all the people who questioned Mac Jones because of his lack of outstanding athletic ability, people would say, well, you know, Tom Brady manages to win a lot of games. That's the comparison people keep making. Again, he's a rookie who hasn't played his first game. But as you watch that offense, for whatever it's worth, when he's in it, that's what it looks like, right?
Absolutely. Where you go matters just as much as the talent that you have. And I think that's the perfect image for New England. Mac Jones has a certain talent that is incredibly rare, and it's a perfect fit for what New England wants to be as a football team offensively and organizationally. It's about ball distribution at the quarterback. It's about ownership at the line of scrimmage. It's about being completion-driven. It's about playing a disciplined style of football for four quarters over the course of a 16 or now 17-game season. That's exactly who Mac Jones is as a quarterback. He's the best quarterback on the team now. He's going to be the best quarterback come November. Yeah. And I think that Mac Jones as the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots puts them into the top four teams in that conference, along with Cleveland, Buffalo, and Kansas City. I believe he will be that good of a player in that situation.
What, you're not buying it, Nick?
I just hate them. Those two guys, I just hate them. They've already gone from Mac Jones is going to be fighting for a job to Cam Newton to now he's doing his Rosie from the Jetsons imitation. Shout out to my man Pete McCombe.
You know, Mac Jones doesn't have progressive analytical foreshadowing numbers to tell me that 3.7
That's you got on glasses. You got on glasses, and they're not even on straight. Like, you don't even know how to be a nerd. Straighten the glasses out.
My glasses
straighten
don't fit because I got a big nose and big ears, so they're tilted, Dom.
Let the record show, these are references that are dated even for me. So I can only imagine what it must feel like for everybody else. Okay, next up. Because in San Francisco, they seem not to be making a quarterback choice as much as a fascinating decision. Because Dan Orlovsky yesterday in the final preseason game, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance routinely playing on the same drive. Take us through this.
Yeah, this is a sick throw by Jimmy Garoppolo. Just a bootleg to left that goes 6 yards and gets 18 yards. Trey Lance can do that. I love the physicality of George Kittle. But then Greeny in the same drive, they're like, we're going to bring Trey Lance in. I want everyone to watch the linebacker, second level. They're paying attention to Trey Lance because of his athleticism. Mostert's going to go 12, 13 yards before one of those linebackers, who's his responsibility to go make that play, can even get close to him. So I love the variance. Then Jimmy Garoppolo comes in for the bootleg. Everyone's going to go, you've been hurt before. Don't risk your body in a preseason game. Man's fighting for his job, so I appreciate his competitiveness.
Again, everything you just saw was on the first drive. Yeah. Both quarterbacks playing, and then it continues on the following drive again. It's a little Jimmy G and it's a little Trey Lance, Dan.
I like the vision. Okay, zone coverage, open up the window and drive it. Trey Lance, watch the creativity. Watch the different moving parts for this offense. Trey Lance is going to score from three here. He could score from 100 if he wants. These are just really small examples that Kyle Shanahan is kind of inception in people's minds. This is what we can do with Lance.
Let's hear from the coach.
We'll have to see. I mean, I don't like playing this game, but everyone keeps asking me that question. I'm not just giving the answer just to satisfy the question. I think we got a pretty good idea, like I said, all along. I think our team does, and we're pretty good with it as long as I can keep surviving press conferences.
Okay, I don't know what that means. One way or another, let me ask you, Jeff Saturday, this question. It's one thing to do that in a preseason game. It's one thing to create like a little package of plays that one quarterback runs. But to truly try and split that job up, to have co-quarterbacks, if you will, in regular season games that count, can you do that?
No, you don't split it up. Listen, Jimmy G is your starting quarterback. For everybody who is a Jimmy G hater, let me spell this out. This dude averages over 28 points a game when he's a starting quarterback. I understand the injuries. I understand why you drafted Trey Lance. I understand all that. At this point, he is a better quarterback than Trey Lance. You just saw Trey Lance completion percentage isn't even 50% in the preseason. So do you have a package for Trey Lance to make defenses prepare? Absolutely. But Jimmy G is your guy. Listen, it goes Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, right? Then you get into Lamar Jackson, then Jimmy G. He's above Tom Brady in points per game. So stop hating. The dude took him to a Super Bowl and he can do it again. This team is too good and they are too polished in so many areas to risk it on a rookie. Have packages, bring him along, but ultimately Jimmy G gives you the best chance to win right now for the San Francisco 49ers.
Dan?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's coordinated three top five offenses in the NFL, one with RG3, one with Matt Ryan, and one with Jimmy G. So the 28 points a game, Jeff, for me are more about Kyle Shanahan than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is good, but he's got two issues. Doesn't stay healthy enough, gives the ball away to the
injuries,
other team.
For sure.
So if I'm the coach and I go, okay, I've got this young, talented player who's going to give me some lows. He's going to give me some lows. But one, athletic quarterbacks or mobile quarterbacks don't turn the ball over as much as non-mobile quarterbacks because they have a different out in their progressions, which is their feet. So I truly believe that Trey Lance will give the ball away less than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to miss more throws. But to be rare in the NFL right now offensively, to be rare, I truly think you got to be able to do what you want in the pass game and then play 11-on-11 in the run game. Trey Lance gives them that opportunity. The two-quarterback system, while not ideal, because in my heart, I believe they wanted Trey Lance to go take this job like it feels Mac Jones did, and he did.
They did.
But,
right.
But I think if both players are playing well, this doesn't become an issue in the locker room. Once one of these guys
sure.
starts to not perform, then I agree with you. This becomes an issue.
All right, well, keep an eye on that
and,
one.
And listen, Dan, hold on. Greeny, so here's part of the issue now that we're out of preseason and we're getting into the regular season is reps shrink, right? So
yes.
All the ball handling, all the preparation for games, all of those things because something that you now have to share. So to Dan's point, it is more difficult to stay sustainable at that because you're not getting the same amount of reps. So I love the package again, but if I'm going to win the Super Bowl right now, I'm riding with Jimmy G until it's abundantly clear that Trey Lance is the guy. And listen, there's a saying in the NFL, leave no doubt. And at this point, Trey Lance has not done that, and Jimmy G has, in my opinion.
That's fair. There is no doubt Trey Lance will eventually be the quarterback of the 49ers. Might they
sure.
win a Super Bowl before then? That's the big question. Let's take a quick break on that.
Wow.
We have a lot more to get to. Coming up, can this championship contender get off the mat after a season-ending injury to one of their most important players? We'll get you there. Plus, Dak is back. But will he truly be ready to go against Tampa in just 10 days? Why, Dan Orlovsky says the excuses are over. Next, get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, a little eye candy. Dominique Foxworth, take a look at Odell here in pregame drills last night. Tell me what you think of this catch.
It's outstanding. That's impossible. Like, it appears impossible, but it's very much like Odell to do something like that. But we need to see that without headphones, with a helmet on, and a jersey coming up this season will make a lot of us a lot happier. But that is still impressive.
I agree, and yet I don't know that most people could do that with a tennis ball, and there he is doing that with a football. That is, it's just, what that guy can do is just ridiculous. Again, we'll see if he's able to do it when the games start to count. The Browns, so far, so good. Their division rival Ravens, so far, so bad. What a disastrous preseason and training camp they've had, and the latest, of course, is this. Their running back, J.K. Dobbins, everyone projecting him to have a huge season, and now he's lost for the year with an ACL on the left knee. This after the injury that he suffered in a preseason game the other day. And very quickly, for those who've not been following this, just run through, Dan Graziano, just the litany of things that have gone sideways for this team since training camp began.
Yeah, really rough camp in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson opened up. He had to be on the COVID list for a time, missed a chunk of camp. Almost every wide receiver they have on the roster has missed some time. Obviously, the most noteworthy being their first-round pick, Rashad Bateman, who had groin surgery. He's going to have to miss likely some games. So, and now you add in the fact that they've lost their top running back. It's just been a very difficult camp if you're the Ravens and you're trying to evolve an offense, which we've heard talked about there for the last couple of years.
So Jeff Saturday, I did not have a chance to get you in on this topic when we talked about it earlier here. How much of an impact, this loss of Dobbins in particular, and then just in general, all that we've seen, how much does it impact their chances of doing big things this year?
Yeah, this is enormous. Listen, when you think about the Ravens, and because of all the injuries Dan just listed from their wide receiver and the development of their quarterback with those guys, it's all going to depend on the running game. This guy averaged 6 yards a carry. I mean, people, that didn't just happen. I understand how good Lamar Jackson is, how good the offensive line is and the scheme is, but he's a dude. And when you're talking about winning a Super Bowl and you're talking about playing 17 regular season games before you even get a chance to, I understand how good Gus Edwards is. You want that guy. You want those three guys. You want Lamar, Gus, and J.K. Dobbins all to be on the field simultaneously. This is a big loss, and it will hurt them. They are going to have to dictate to defenses what they want to do through their run game. J.K. Dobbins allowed them to do that. This is a big loss for that football team.
So, Nick, earlier today, you sort of downplayed the impact of this, and I understand that they're still a good team. No one's suggesting they're not. But beyond Lamar sure. Jackson, the two things everyone kept telling me the last few months, Neek, was Rashad Bateman is going to play a huge role in that passing game, and J.K. Dobbins is ready to break out and become a superstar. Well, now, one of them had groin surgery, and the other one has an ACL. That has to be a problem, no?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely think that the collection of all the issues and injuries that they've had are a problem. My issue is that us pretending that the J.K. Dobbins loss is the one that's catastrophic. It may be the straw that breaks the camel's back, but I do understand and I agree with Jeff that as far as longevity is concerned, having more people to hand the ball to is nice, but for this team to win a Super Bowl, which is what they are built to do, they need to improve in their downfield passing consistency. So the receivers, losing the receivers, that to me is much more concerning than losing J.K. Dobbins. This team is going to play great defense. They're going to run the ball well. I know Dobbins, you said, averaged 6 yards a carry. Gus averaged 5 yards a carry, which is way more than you need to average to have an effective running attack in this league. So as long as you have Lamar Jackson and you have that offensive line, which is getting healthy and getting better, they're going to be able to run the ball. I promise you, Gus Edwards and Lamar are going to put up effective rushing numbers. The concern is, are they going to be able to take advantage of those loaded boxes and attack deep down the field with Bateman coming off of groin surgery and with Hollywood coming off of a hamstring? Yeah. Those are the concerning things to me.
I'm with you. Okay, I'm glad we clarified that because there is cause for concern in Baltimore. In the meantime, we've been very concerned about the situation in Dallas. We've talked a lot about the quarterback and Dak Prescott coming back from the ankle injury last year and now the shoulder strain during this training camp. It's been the storyline of the preseason. Here's Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy with the latest update on the QB.
I mean, Captain Obvious, we're full steam ahead to Tampa. I mean, we've lost some opportunities to practice, you know, with Dak. So, you know, now that he's back, it's, you know, our focus really, you know, part of Kellen's focus and Dak's focus really has been this past week. You know, we need to get as much in as we possibly can between now and the Tampa Bay game. So our focus is on Tampa.
I love any phrase that has begun with the words Captain Obvious, by the way. That's just as a general rule of thumb. But let me ask you this question here, Graziano, because, all right, he has really not been able to practice in full. Now they're full steam ahead, but they don't have as much time as we may think.
Right, because this is a bye week. The CBA mandates that this be treated with bye week rules in terms of player off days. So you have to give the players 3 days in a row off at some point. The Cowboys, because they open early, those 3 days are the next three. They're not practicing today, tomorrow, or Wednesday. They will resume on Thursday. So they'll have 1 week to get ready for that Tampa Bay opener. This isn't unique to them. Other teams are doing it later in the week because they have Sunday games in week one. But if you're thinking Dak Prescott's going to be practicing all week with his team, he is not. He might do some stuff on his own, but the new CBA mandates that players have a bye week this week.
So it's even fewer practices with the team than we had initially thought. Dan Orlovsky, how will this all impact him once and for all? We're a week and change away from him finally getting out there on the field against Tampa. All the time he's missed and everything else. What impact does it have?
No excuses and no explanations. I just heard Mike McCarthy, his head coach, say, we're full go. Dak is 100% full go ahead. So I don't want to hear any excuses or explanations anymore because your coach just told me you don't have any. This is the second most expensive offense in the NFL. It's the second most expensive offense in the NFL. You get paid as a quarterback and all those other pieces that they have to go play well against really good defenses like you'll see on Thursday night against Tampa Bay. That's the reason they paid you all that money. And so I'm not going to build or have built-in excuses or let this offense slack off. The expectation for next Thursday night is for that offense to go earn its money, and they get paid a ton of it.
Nate?
Dan is right about the question that he answered. Unfortunately, it wasn't the question that Greeny asked. He asked, like, how will it impact Dak? And then you start with no excuses, no explanations. Like, No, it's not. That's not answering the question. How will it impact them? You said there's no excuses, no explanation. The point is, it will impact them. And if you're living in a world where there are no explanations, then what are we doing here? We don't have jobs if we don't explain things. Like, yes, I agree with you. Dude. There is no excuse. But I do expect Dak and that offense to start off slow because they're going up against a great defense. And Dak has taken a lot of time off. So, yes, the explanation for why they do not look good against the Tampa Bay Bucks, part of the explanation is going to be that Dak Prescott is coming off of injuries. They haven't worked well together. That's a decision that they made because they think that's going to be better for them in the long run. So that's an explanation, and that's also an answer to the question that Michael Greenberg asked.
Yeah, I said this a month ago that he was going to start slow and it would pay off in the long run. I just wanted to argue with you.
I love arguing with you, too. This is fun.
The two of you like to argue that Captain Obvious already knows that. Bottom line, there's a difference between excuses and reasons. Right. It may not be an excuse if he starts slowly. It might just be the reason. In the meantime, as we continue, another ridiculous throw from Justin Fields. Bears the question, did the Bears make the wrong choice at quarterback and could it wind up dooming everything in Chicago? We will do that, and then Sneaky Hembo and Graziano will do their thing. And here comes the question, Dan. Which NFL team has the longest active drought since starting a rookie quarterback? That's the question from Hembo. The answer is next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, there are a lot of guesses going around the studio here. Graziano's correcting a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, not helpful.
But let's see if he gets the answer right. Which NFL team has the longest active drought since they started a rookie quarterback in any game?
I was thinking Packers. I was thinking Patriots. I'm thinking maybe Saints. I'm going to guess the Patriots, but it's a guess.
You had the right answer.
It
was the Packers.
Oh, man.
The last rookie to start a game for them was Don Majakowski in 1987.
Who could forget?
Favre came in a trade. He was originally drafted by Atlanta. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers didn't play for several years there. All right, score that one for Hembo.
That was close.
But Graziano still has a 34-25 advantage. It's not an overreaction to say he's outstandingly good at this. Meanwhile, to Overreaction Monday. Let me give you a couple of others. If I said the Texans were going to trade Deshaun Watson before week one, would that be an overreaction?
I say it's not an overreaction. I'm still personally skeptical that it happens, but I don't think it's impossible. Houston has to have, like every team, has to have its roster down to 53 by 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, and they have a decision to make on what to do with Deshaun Watson. Do they just take whatever the best offer is and be rid of the situation? Again, I don't think that's likely, but I can't completely rule it out.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. The next one, if I said the Eagles are all in on Jalen Hurts long term, is that an overreaction?
It's an overreaction. He's going to get a chance to prove to them that he's the guy because he'll still be the starter this year. The Minshew trade was for a backup. But, you know, the Eagles have likely 3 first-round picks next year, and they will be positioned to do whatever they need to do at quarterback. If they come out of this year not convinced that it's Jalen Hurts, then they can absolutely go in a different direction.
Let me give you one more. If I said Justin Fields is going to start a game in September this year, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. This reminds me of the Texans, Deshaun Watson's rookie year. Bill O'Brien spent the whole offseason saying, I'm going to start Tom Savage. He did. Watson finished that game and became the starter the following week. I think it'll be obvious soon that Justin Fields is the better option in Chicago.
Okay, but for the moment, they continue to tell us that Andy Dalton is going to be QB1. So let me bring in my quarterback, and that's Dan Orlovsky, and ask you that question. Is that the right decision once and for all? We've seen all the preseason now. Are they doing the right thing?
Absolutely not, because Justin Fields is a better quarterback than Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Justin Fields makes this offense better than Andy Dalton. And I'm looking at a head coach in Matt Nagy understanding that the offensive line is not good. So I go, what do I want to do as a coach? Do I want to work with a patchwork offensive line and an average talent-wise at quarterback? Or do I want to work with a patchwork offensive line and above average talent at quarterback? The reality is this. Justin Fields can make up for more of the deficiencies of your football team than Andy Dalton can. Simply put, Jeff Saturnino knows this. One of the reasons why quarterback run, zone read was developed in football was for bad offensive lines. If I'm a 5 offensive lineman and I got 5 guys on defense to block, we may not be good enough for every guy to win their block. But you know what we can do? We can maybe not block one of them.
Yep.
And now we have 5 right. to block 4. And then the quarterback, who's a great athlete, can put one of those guys in conflict on a consistent basis. You see it? And so that's my issue is going, this goes back to the Trubisky thing. Why can't we build the offense around the quarterback's talent rather than trying to take the quarterback and make him fit into our offense that I want to run?
That's fair. And here's the thing, because with Trubisky, at least he wasn't Nagy's guy, right? So you always figured maybe he never won. This guy they traded up to take. So they're obviously as all in on him as you can be. He is their future. It's just a question of when that future is going to begin. Dominique Foxworth, what do you think?
With Dan that they should go with Justin Fields, but I'll try to make the point or the argument for why they wouldn't is they want to set Justin Fields up for success and they don't want to put him out there and get hurt. So while you're saying he can make up for all these deficiencies, that's true. But in making up for these deficiencies, he's going to be putting himself at risk. Those QB runs are going to be putting him at risk. That bad offensive line, when they get pressure, that's going to be putting him at risk. So if they truly believe that this guy is special, that's the argument. That's the only argument you can make. I think it's the wrong one, considering where this team's timeline is, how they've underachieved in recent seasons, even though they made the playoffs last year. And the reason for that underachievement is, yes, partially offensive line, but also it's been quarterback issues. And they got a guy who clearly is a guy.
Yep.
And they've gone from other guys who couldn't play. So you need to give that guy the ball to keep your team motivated and believing in you as soon as possible.
Jeff?
If I'm in the Chicago Bears locker room, I am pissed.
Yeah.
Listen, you know who helps us win the game. Bottom line, man, this ain't about organizational future. I'm not a general manager. My job is to play good football and get paid on Tuesday because I earned it on Sunday or Monday. That's my job. Your job as a coach is to put the best 11 on the field. You know who the best 11 is? Justin Fields is one of them.
Yeah.
So put him on the field and give us a chance. Look, I hear all the arguments if you're the GM or the owner of the team of why you would do it. If you're you're a player, you know it's not for long in the NFL, and Justin Fields gives us a chance to make the playoffs. That's the truth of it, and he does make up for this offensive line. And listen, for what they cannot do, they at least have a 1,000-yard rusher. You blend that with being able to boot, waggle, and run naked both ways, and you give this offense a chance to put up points. That is the way they'll win games. This is not a shot on Andy Dalton. No. This is a locker room issue, and I'm telling you, if I'm sitting in there, I'm going to the coach's office, I'm going to let him know. Khalil Mack, go let him know. Right. That defense who can win games, go let him know, because the truth has been seen by the players.
That's extremely well said. Let me leave that thought there. So Justin Fields was drafted this year as the fourth quarterback taken in round one. The first was Trevor Lawrence. And Dan, he had his final preseason action yesterday. What did you see?
Yeah, special talent. Hard things are made easy. First of all, I love this little ball fake. Watch how drilled this throw is. Down the sideline, that's not a big window for a completion. Absolutely perfect throw. I love this. Own the line of scrimmage, third and four, little shoulder fake. Cookies. That's an easy touchdown to Farrell Cooper in the red zone. I love the touch on the throw. This throw is so special by Trevor Lawrence. I want people to understand, this ball has to get up and down so quickly in that end zone, that corner route. You can't throw it to the back because it's a flattened off throw to Chenault. That ball's got to be perfect tempo and trajectory. Trevor Lawrence makes really difficult things look really easy.
His numbers yesterday, you see him on the screen, 11 of 12, 139 yards, two touchdowns. And so let's go on the clock. And Orlovsky, let me just sort of pick up the thought there. I'll give you 30 seconds. Everyone talked about generational talent, greatest prospect we've seen since however long. Have you seen that so far in the preseason from Trevor Lawrence? Go.
Yes. He's unbelievable. And Greeny, I would say this. If you get a C-plus performance out of Urban Meyer and their general manager, Trent Baalke, this guy is going to be the next Andrew Luck. All he needs is a C-plus performance. He is that talented. Everything that he does is hard, and he makes it look easy. It's difficult, and he makes it look smooth. I have absolutely seen exactly why Trevor Lawrence was the guy that everyone said, he's special, he's different. They just need to not mess it up in Jacksonville.
Okay, so far so good, says Dan. Jeff Saturday, I'm coming to you next. Your old team, the Colts, just one injury after another. How big a problem do we have in Indy? 30 seconds, go.
It's an enormous problem. Listen, Carson Wentz has had one practice from start to finish. That's it, right? He did some 7-on-7 stuff last week. So you're looking at this team. None of them have practiced together. Q Nelson's been out with COVID protocol and foot. You've had all kinds of issues with Ryan Kelly, the issues from the offensive line. Now you got T.Y. Hilton. So can Pittman be the one? That's a big deal. And none of them have been together to practice. And by the way, practice matters. What the one saving grace is they have two NFC teams to open up the season before they really got to hit it with Titans, Dolphins, and Ravens. So if I'm looking at them, take those 2 weeks as preseason extension and then move on.
Now, that said, what I noticed, that's a rough start to the schedule. That is a very tough first five games. Nick, let me come to you on the last one here. Should Jalen Hurts be worried about his starting job after the Eagles traded for Gardner Minshew? 30 seconds, go.
Absolutely, he should be worried. Gardner Minshew made it clear this preseason that he was not looking to be a backup, and the Eagles wouldn't have gone and got him knowing what he said about competing with Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. And Gardner Minshew, I'm not going to pretend like he's some world beater at quarterback, but he had done some impressive things down in Jacksonville in a bad situation. So I do think that given the fact that Gardner Minshew is a known commodity and he has a name that people are aware of, that as soon as Jalen Hurts struggles, there are going to be calls for Gardner Minshew and he's going to play.
It is the name that you're aware of. It is a name that, candidly, you just can't ever forget. All right, we'll take a quick break on that thought. So much to come. Oh, by the way, tennis, anyone? The 53rd U.S. Open begins today on ESPN and ESPN+. Noon Eastern with the action to start then. ESPN2 tonight at 6 Eastern. We have 4 hours of primetime coverage. As always, you can always watch every point streaming live on the ESPN app. Coming up, the big concern for the Giants after Daniel Jones is left completely exposed. Is it all about to go wrong again? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and Mac Jones continues to impress. In the Patriots preseason finale against the Giants last night, he was 10 of 14, 156 yards, and a touchdown. Bill Belichick spoke this morning on his team's quarterback situation.
Do you feel like you need to make a decision soon because the style of the two players is fairly different?
I feel like whatever we do in the next couple days, like every day, is should be what's best for our football team, and that's what we're going to try to do.
That was genuinely funny. Like, he actually took a moment there, Dan Orlovsky, to think about how he could say the least amount in that response, and so he told us nothing. But that's not going to be the case with you. You are going to teach us something from the film on Mac Jones. Go.
Mac Jones has a superpower, and it's a speed of play. The touchdown in the red zone to Isaiah Zuber is the perfect example of a player may not being fast athletically, but he certainly plays fast at the position. The Giants are going to be in a cover three zone defense. Now, where do we want to attack cover three? We want to push the ball to the perimeter, or we want to push the ball to these seams. Here's the weakness of cover three. Now, this cover three is a true cover three zone. No one's going to carry anything vertical. First of all, there's a safety that's sitting in the middle of the field right there. His job, vision on the quarterback, back to protect those seams that I just drew. Now these guys hook the curl the flat, and the corner's the big job. A corner is going to play in between, his job in between the number one and the number two receivers, with vision to the quarterback and also collapse. He's going to play right in between them, again protecting that seam area. Now this is the seam throw to Isaiah Zuber, and I love the pace that Mac Jones plays with. Drills that ball for a touchdown. The split screen is going to be beautiful. Now first of all, I told you there's a safety in middle of field, right? He's playing with vision on the quarterback. You got to do something with your eyes to hold that safety to make sure he doesn't protect that seam. Mac Jones is going to catch this ball, and he's going to stare to the right. He's moving that safety, or just getting him to hold for a second to make sure that seam that's available pre-snap, I can go after it. Now, the second thing is this. When you're throwing this seam route, naturally a quarterback, your feet go 1, 2, 3 and hitch into the pocket, and you throw it about 18 to 22 yards downfield. Well, we're in the red zone, right? Everybody at home, whenever you watch football, you always hear, down in the red zone, for a quarterback, everything happens faster. So Mac Jones cannot go 1, 2, 3 hitch down in the red zone. He has to go 1, 2, 3 foot in the ground, and ball's got to come out on time. 1, 2, 3 foot. Ball is coming out of Mac Jones's hands right now. He put his foot in the ground. There is no hitch there. You see him drive his foot into the ground, and the ball is coming out. Now here comes Zuber. Zuber is bending on his seam route, and I told you that corner has got to collapse. He's playing with vision on the quarterback right now. Mac Jones is foot in the ground. He's got vision on the quarterback. His job is to collapse. It's great timing and fast pace by Mac. Now this is the third thing that I love. So often quarterbacks in this situation, they just throw an okay ball. They hold the guy up, and it's a good play because it's a nice completion. But if you play fast and you throw the exact right tempo and the exact right ball placement, it becomes a touchdown. Because look at this triangle of Giants defenders. There's this triangle that you have to fit it right in between those guys. That is an absolutely veteran play by Mac Jones. 1, 2, 3, ball comes out, throw exactly, lead him exactly into the window that it needs. Listen, Mac Jones plays like a veteran. Not only a veteran, a guy that can be an absolute stud at the position because he plays fast.
That's extraordinarily well done. And again, Belichick, as you heard at the beginning, not naming a starter yet, but it feels like he's got a real chance to be their starting quarterback week one. Meanwhile, Danny, let me show you another quarterback from yesterday. Daniel Jones hadn't played at all in the Giants' first two preseason games. So yesterday in that game against New England, his only action of the preseason, and this was what most of it looked like. He's just getting dumped. He got sacked twice in this game, and there was a lot of consistent pressure from the Patriots. And then in the second quarter, this is down in the red. This is a terrible play. Daniel Jones That's a really bad interception, one that Jones would certainly like to have back. Now, he did have some good moments, ran a nice two-minute drill at the end of the first half, which culminated in this nice throw, a touchdown to Caden Smith. So in the end, Jones, 17 of 22, 135 yards, a touchdown and an interception in a game the Patriots would go on to win. But it does beg the question, how is it possible, Jeff Saturday, that the New York Giants address their offensive line every year, and every year it gets worse? That's the only way people were reacting to it last night. What do you see right now, and what impact is it going to have on the Giants and on their quarterback?
Yeah, Thomas is struggling in a big way. And listen, this isn't being able to see the field or something that's happening that's out of the ordinary. This is basic 101. Look at the slap rip, and then he gets pushed, and he gets driven right back in the quarterback. Y'all, that's 101. Like, that's everybody in the NFL has that move. There's nothing special about that move. There's nothing special about that guy getting inside of you and understanding when there's somebody standing outside, somebody's going inside. Like, this isn't complicated. And again, you got Solder out at right. I don't know if they move him back over and then put Pert in. They're going to have to do something to get Daniel Jones protection, because the issue for Daniel Jones is he turns it over. He doesn't have great pocket awareness. Now you couple that with poor offensive line play, that's a complete disaster. They have got to get better on the edges of this offensive line. They brought in Flaherty to help them consult and do those things. They're not getting any better. And on the edges, that is a nightmare for this football team.
To be clear, Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, was the fourth pick in the draft last year. Dominique, how
yes,
are we
sir.
Going to assess Daniel Jones? They've got him all these weapons and all that kind of stuff, and Saquon comes back, but if the offensive line struggles like this?
Yeah, what Jeff was pointing out was really scary, is that Thomas got beat around the edge, and then he also got beat inside. You got to take something away. Like, you're the number four overall right. pick. You got to take something away. Like, we've accepted that you're not going to be a Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer, but okay, you might get beat around the edge with speed. That happens. And then to follow that up a few plays later, have someone go up and under and then beat you inside, like, that's tough. And so I was never really high on Daniel Jones. I think he overperformed what I expected from him, but it's hard to be critical of a player like that if he's going to go through the season where he's always got big dudes in his face. Like, that's going to be really tough for him to read defenses and get the ball down the field and hold on to the ball, frankly, if he's getting hit all the time by these scary defensive linemen.
Now, Graziano, you know that team and that the history of that situation as well as anybody. What?
Well, they definitely know they need help on the offensive line. They've been out there trying to trade for guys, and they'll obviously keep an eye on who gets cut tomorrow. They're focused on the interior. I mean, they used the four pick on Andrew Thomas. He's got to be good. Had a lousy game last night, but they think he'll be better, especially if they can improve, you know, the interior of that offensive line as well. But they are definitely going to be active in trying to upgrade that. Didn't do enough this offseason. They went out and signed Kenny Golladay and some other players, but did not address that need to the extent that they had to, and they will try to do it over the next 24 to 48 hours.
It is like a recurring theme with the Giants, and if it winds up being their doom this year, it'll be fascinating to see how they assess the quarterback. Meanwhile, we have a special Monday night doubleheader in the world of baseball for you tonight. Two huge games. 7 Eastern, we have Red Sox-Rays, and that's followed by the Braves and Dodgers. All the action's on ESPN and on the app. One app, one tap, so you can watch from anywhere. Meanwhile, you can watch First Take here on ESPN coming up at the top of the hour. Who should start in Foxborough, Cam or Mac? And what should the Niners do with quarterback? Decisions. They're talking about at top of the hour here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Oh, what a Labor Day weekend we have coming up for you in college football. Look at the lineup. We got Alabama-Miami. We got Georgia-Clemson Saturday night primetime. Notre Dame, Florida State is Sunday night, and then Louisville, Ole Miss on Monday, all on ESPN. All four games also available streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap should be awesome. Okay, let's finish it today by going over some of the bold predictions and hot takes that came out on the program today. And Graziano, I'll start with you. This one is less of a bold take than it is just some insight into a very significant move that could get made.
Yeah, the next about 30 hours could be very important in the Deshaun Watson situation. The Texans have to have their roster down to 53 by 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. If they don't trade Deshaun Watson before then there's a possibility he stays on their team all year and the situation doesn't resolve itself until next year. But watch to see if they decide to cut the cord here and make a move if there's a team out there offering what they think is worth it.
Again, we're talking about possibly before tomorrow afternoon. Meanwhile, Dominic Foxworth, your old team, the Ravens, you made an interesting remark this morning.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, the Deshaun Watson thing is shocking considering that the 22 allegations are still out there. But as far as the Ravens situation, I still see the Ravens as winning that division. I feel a lot less confident about it. I feel pretty nervous now given all their offensive injuries, but I still believe Lamar Jackson is that special. And more importantly, that defense can cover and rush the passer. So they're going to be a tough out. I'm nervous because Baker, man, he's coming on strong. He looks more impressive than I've ever seen him.
Yeah,
that's Baker Mayfield in that division. But the injury-riddled Ravens, still Dominique's pick. Okay, and then we get to the Mac Jones of it all. We had, like, competing hot takes on Mac Jones, starting with an award you think he might win this year, Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, I think Mac Jones is a starter for the Patriots, and I think he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I just believe the way that this football team plays offensive football, they're not going to ask him to do a ton. This is going to be a top five offensive line. It'll be a top five run game. They're going to major in empty sets where he just owns the line of scrimmage and finds matchups that they've upgraded the talent to go win, and then major in a ton of play action pass. I think Mac Jones is going to be really, really good in New England.
So good that, Jeff, Saturday, you took it even a step farther than that.
Boy, Dan, just you fueling the fire, baby. I told the AFC, you better buckle up because the Patriots are rebuilding. Listen, Fox don't want to admit it. This is scary. You just heard what Dan said. They don't ask their quarterback to do too much because their offensive line is legit, their run game is legit, and their defense is legit.
Yeah,
you just talked about the Ravens being a tough out. How about that Patriots out, man? I'm telling you, buckle up, folks. This thing could get ugly. And I ain't a fan. I don't want it.
Nope.
But I'm just telling you, it's slowly but surely happening.
Yeah. So that's all we got today, basically, is that the New England Patriots are starting another 20-year dynasty. So says Jeff Saturday. Good to be back. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.